today. All right. Hello, hello, guys. This is another edition of the Teaching Transitions podcast. Thank you for joining us today. Today we have Will Beckett.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah.
Okay. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, Beckett. But I mean, I've been called French bread as a kind of a nickname because of how people think it's pronounced. But yeah. Beckett. So it's all good.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm thankful that you can join us today. I was super excited about your journey and some of the experiences that you had. So I would like to share with our viewers today. Tell us where you are. What are you doing? What are you up to?
Yeah. So I've been living in Dallas, Texas, I think about almost 5 years now. Yeah. So it's been kind of a great experience here. And I've been doing some entrepreneurial things, I think, for the past 4.5 years, and also working in sports and entertainment. And I mentioned doing entrepreneurial kind of, you know, stuff on the side as far as like doing public speaking, and just kind of got into real estate investing recently. And so, yeah, just trying to figure it out like everyone else, honestly.
Yeah. One of the things that really interested me in your journey was seeing you speaking. I think I saw you speaking at the University of Texas. Was it UT? It was a couple, maybe a year ago or so. I saw you speaking there. So I was like, sports and entertainment. How did you really get into that? What really sparked that interest?
Yeah, I mean, ironically, you know, we met at Baylor University, and that's when I got my master's in sport administration. And just like anything else, it's all about who you know and having quality relationships. And so I think just over time, shaking the right hands and also just getting different experiences. So I wasn't a collegiate athlete, and so I didn't have kind of that end, so to speak. And so I had to kind of get it out of the mud, so in a way. And I think just over time, just, you know, going to different conferences and events, you know, opportunities present themselves. And from what I've learned, 80% of jobs, typically they are filled before they're even posted. And so, absolutely. So, yeah, you want to make sure you're kind of in the end and having great relationships and people that will vouch for you, that trust you, that know your work ethic and know what you're about. And so I created the people that I've worked with and worked for that have helped me tremendously. And as far as like, you know, kind of getting into consulting and speaking, that was not planned at all. It was kind of fell into it by accident, but you can get into that later. But definitely sports is just all relationships based, who you know, who knows you, and who you stay in contact with. And that's what it really comes down to.
Awesome. So we're going to dig in a little bit into where your joy or where your inspiration concerning sports really came from. Just even as a child, how did you get into it? Where did you play high school and just was like, I like the coaching side, or I like more of the consulting side opposed to the competition side? Or how did that start?
Yeah, so I was never going to be a collegiate athlete or professional athlete. Just didn't hit the genetic lottery like that, so that was not going to happen. But I always wanted to be around it. You know, I'm a high school has-been basketball player. I used to be a really good 3-point shooter. Now I'm just a OG at LA Fitness, so days are kind of over. Quite honestly, I always wanted to kind of be around it. You know, I've always been enamored by sports, and honestly, it's like I don't watch a lot of TV, so to speak, but I do watch a lot of sporting events, because obviously the good thing about where we are in society today, you can watch a show that's been recorded or pre-recorded, and you can watch it a month later and binge and things like that. But as far as sports, if you don't watch it in that moment, then the excitement and kind of the joy you kind of miss. And so I think being in kind of that live space has always been interesting to me. I'm kind of an adventure junkie. And so I just love kind of being in that arena or the stadium and just the ambiance, just the fan excitement, and also providing quality experiences for student athletes. A lot of student athletes, you know, especially in the kind of the cash cow sports, football and basketball, some don't come from the best of backgrounds or environments. And so, you know, they're taken out of structured environment, unstructured environments, put into a super structured environment, and in some ways dumped into an unstructured environment. And so although I work in the industry, you know, I'm just a kind of a small piece of a multi-billion dollar industry. And so the way I kind of, you know, do service to student athletes and otherwise is by doing the consulting work and personal branding and etiquette and career development. So yeah, the passion just kind of came from just kind of watching them my entire life. No one in my family really played sports, but yeah, just over time, you know, I just really enjoyed it and just something I just like to kind of be around. And so it just worked out really well.
Awesome. So what I am kind of interested about is like, in what role did you play concerning the athletes? Like, what were you doing with them?
Yeah, so I have a program called the Executive Image, and basically we train them how to look the part and act the part so they can become the part. And so let me clarify, do you mean like on the consulting side or on the sports admin side?
I'm referring to when you got your degree.
Okay.
What exactly were you doing, or what were you looking for to be doing with the athletes?
Yeah, so I bounced around a little bit. So after I left Baylor in 2014, I got an internship at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in Atlanta. And so I was interning there for like 8 or 9 months. And then I stayed in Atlanta, got a job at IMG doing apparel licensing, which wasn't really sports, but it was powered by sports. So basically, you know, if your school's doing well, you're going to sell more t-shirts. And so we're kind of on that outside periphery of licensing. Didn't really like that. And so I left there and went to the college football playoff, and I was there for 3 years. And what I would primarily do is operations, security, credentialing. And so I was more on the event management side. And but we did have a sector that did more of the team management side, but that was a different department than when I was in. Mine was kind of more so general overall event management and ensuring a safe and secure event and for their families and constituents. So that was kind of more of my focus. But we did have, again, a different sector that was more focused on the team experience itself.
Okay. And did that internship help you transition to more of a consulting side, or what exactly about that experience kind of led you down the road that you're on now?
Yeah, I mean, completely unrelated. I mean, to be honest with you. So like, I guess the way that it kind of happened. So I went to a conference in 2013 and I walked into a room, and there was a gentleman presenting on personal branding and executive conduct and etiquette. And I looked around the room, and you know, everybody in there was either 50 or older, and maybe two people in the room looked like me out of like, you know, 60, 70 people. And it's like, wait, now one of these things is not like the other. And so I figured like, okay, let me sit in kind of the back, kind of do my thing and pick up some information, pick up some notes. And it wasn't until I think a couple of years later, when I had some kind of family financial hardships, that I decided to kind of step out on faith. And sometimes, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. I've heard that often. And so like, you know, sometimes some circumstances can cause you to step into something that might have been birthed in you, but maybe dormant, or, you know, something that's purpose-based. And so I would say that's what kind of helped out a lot. But the fact that I had relationships in sports helped tremendously, because every athletic department in some shape or form or fashion has a life skills department where they'll have, you know, career development, life skills, things like that. And oftentimes, not every school, they'll bring in speakers to help with workshops. And, you know, because you can say one thing, but when someone comes in and says the exact same thing or says it a different way, it may resonate better. And so I've been a beneficiary of that, you know, honestly. So honestly, I think the biggest thing is just kind of being in the industry, but also making those inroads and connections within the industry. And then they trust you, they know your work ethic, and they'll bring you in. And then, like, I think I started in 2017 with two clients, and I had to basically pay to perform, so to speak. Like, they, you know, like, was trying to pay me anything. And that was two in 2017. And I think now in 2021, we're up to like 46. And so, like, the growth has been tremendous. Even throughout COVID, very fortunate, very blessed to experience growth, you know, even throughout their time. But it's just a testament to the people that are on campus and doing the kind of groundwork day to day. Because when you have people in these kind of positions, they are often the caretakers. They're the ones doing the work that people may or may not always want to do, you know, and checking grades and things like that. And so they really care about the student athletes. And that's why I love working with them on the internal side so much, because, you know, you can see the impact, you see what they get from it, and, you know, it helps them in their job as well. And honestly, like, when you look at the way athletics is structured, a lot of times you have an internal department that focuses on kind of compliance, student athlete development, academics, and what have you. Okay. The external side, they focus on the fundraising piece of it. And so when you can integrate those two pieces to say, hey, your dollars are going to help X student get this kind of training, development, and opportunities, it kind of makes for a more holistic kind of picture of how you can raise money and how you can, you know, better position your athletic department. And so I'm just kind of a very small linchpin and cog in that overall wheel and cycle.
Okay, that's good to know. I definitely didn't have that much extensive knowledge about how the department works. I want to dig a little bit more into your transition to this entrepreneurial or consulting side and you having to lean into faith. Tell us a little bit about how you overcame that fear, or maybe it wasn't fear, but something kind of pushed you into making it happen, opposed to it not happening before. So dig into what you had to overcome in order to really, truly step out on faith.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing, so in 2016, my mentor and I, and this is shortly after I left Baylor, but I started working on it, you know, right after I left school. And I wrote a book in 2016 called The Blueprint for a Successful Career. And so that was kind of like an early kind of, you know, foray into writing, into professional development. And the genesis of that, or the background on that, was because like I had great mentors and Ty Brown and Kaz Kazadi, people that were around the Baylor campus. And they really opened my eyes to a lot of different things, because where I came from, I didn't have these kind of mentors and figures. And so when I got out of under their wing, so to speak, I realized that, hey, they positioned me effectively. They put me in a good spot to be successful. That's where the idea for a book came from, to say, okay, hey, you can't always choose your mentor who's going to invest in you. And so I wanted to give kind of those, you know, tools, tactics, and strategies that helped me to get to where I am. So when you talk about, you know, making the entrepreneurial leap or journey, like I'm a believer in working, you know, full time. I still work full time, and I do consulting on the side. So I mean, there are some people, when you get to a certain amount of income or revenue, you can obviously step out. And, you know, I've been fortunate to where if I did want to go speaking full time, I could, but I do have a good setup and where I have an unlimited kind of flexibility with pay time off to go and do that. And I have support, you know, from higher ups. And so that helps tremendously, you know, from that regard. Right. And, you know, not everyone has that setup. So I feel very fortunate to have that. And so I feel like it's one of those things where it's just purpose driven, you know. Honestly, I'm very introverted, and public speaking is not something I necessarily enjoy, but I enjoy helping people. And so I think the biggest thing is you have to look at the core of your, or who you are and your purpose, and figure out, okay, why am I really doing what I'm doing? And so to give kind of context from a sports perspective, I read an article about Nick Saban, and the headline was that Nick Saban isn't into college football. And like, this guy's won 6-7 championships. How can he not be into college football? And so I read the article, and although he was a former student athlete, very successful coach, the article made a lot of sense. It said that he's not into football so much as he's into competition. And so competition is the centerpiece. Football is just an extension of his desire and kind of need and satiation for competition. And so like he plays basketball like every day at noon. I read it somewhere and things like that. And so like, am I into public speaking, get in front of people? No, I'm introverted, right? But I am into helping people and seeing that, you know, kind of professional development, seeing people grow over time, helping them get their first job. That's what gets me out of my shell in order to, you know, be able to deliver at a high level. And so I think you kind of drill down those things. Well, hey, you're not into, you know, maybe holding microphones and listening to people talk all day. You want to hear people's stories.
Right.
You know, you want to be able to share people's stories, you know? So we have to really drill down to why we do what we do. And that's what keeps us progressing forward. So that's kind of, you know, what I would say. I'm kind of a entrepreneur, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I still work full time, but it's a good setup. I'm very fortunate and very blessed.
Yes. That's very good to know. Also just looking at it from the analytical side and seeing how it impacts others. Now, my question going forward is, has your professional development or personal development changed from the beginning of your career, kind of stepping out and going to that entrepreneur side, in comparison to now when you have more options? Is it a little harder now, or are you more focused?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's human nature. Sometimes we all get a little distracted, and, you know, we all, you know, deal with things personally and professionally that can, you know, bleed into other phases of our lives. And so I think, you know, COVID probably taught a lot about ourselves. When you had to sit down and spend time with yourself, and you're with each other, kind of dig into the depths of who you are and, you know, past things you may have gone through, traumas, triggers, and things like that. And so I think, you know, it was a very good period of self-discovery, and just kind of changed my approach. Before, I was very externally focused. Hey, do this, act this way, present yourself in this way. But now I've more so started on to help them focus on the internal side, because I can teach you how to do X, Y, Z, but if you're not a good person, if you don't care about people, if you don't love on people, then none of that stuff really, really matters at the end of the day. So I will say that, you know, I think when you learn, you have more options. It can be a little bit difficult when you have that, you know, that itch to kind of do what you want to do when you want to do it on your time and your terms. And so, you know, that can be very tough. So it all depends on kind of what your priorities are and what your comfort level is, and, you know, what your goals are. You know, some people may say, I want to work until, you know, age, you know, whatever. I got a guy that says he's done at 45 and he's going back to the motherland, Africa. He's going back and he's just going to live there and just chill out. So I think you have to really just identify your priorities. So, I mean, it is sometimes like kind of a struggle, you know, because like, you know, you there's so many opportunities in the world and so many different ways to make an impact and also, you know, make income as well. And so recently I've kind of got into real estate investing. And so that has, you know, really kind of, you know, it's kind of been an area of focus. And yeah, and I'm working on getting my license right now to kind of have more holistic understanding of it. But to answer your question, yeah, it's tough. My approach, you know, has changed, but I've also learned how to kind of more enjoy life, because before I was just like work, 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 and a workaholic and, you know, trying to hoard every dollar I could. But over time, I've learned more, okay, having a financial advisor and, you know, where to allocate funds and resources, and also just, you know, enjoying yourself. And so I took up kayaking. So I go kayaking, you know, every like couple weeks.
That's a nice little shoulder workout.
Yeah, straight up. So yeah, that's kind of, you know, where I am now. But to answer your question, yeah, there's a balance there. It can be tough at times, but again, I think, you know, if you you know, have an aspiration or a goal to say, hey, I'm trying to get to X figure or get to, you know, X level, then, you know, you can kind of direct your path. But yeah, it may definitely can be challenging at times.
What are some goals or some objectives that you're trying to tackle, like, in this season of your life that you feel like will propel you forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, so, I mean, you know, in the Bible, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And so for me, money has never been a driver so much as making it the way you want to make it is kind of, you know, and having the security is cool. But like, you know, research has shown that once you get to like an X level, depending on your cost of living, where you live, that happiness and amount of money you make or earn are inversely related. After you get to a point where you can take care of your bills, you can take care of your family, you can take a vacation when you want to, and you have emergency funds. Once you get past that threshold, happiness and money are not correlated really at all. Like, so it's kind of like a zero correlation there. So for me, I think it's just more so, you know, really just taking in just life as it is and, you know, what it has to offer, being intentional about, you know, listening to other people and their stories. So I started working on another book, and it's kind of about like life lessons that you learn from other people. And like, to give an example, I was in Milwaukee like 2 weeks and I went and rented this paddle bike, like this hydro bike, from this guy. And we ended up talking for like an hour, you know, after I got done riding the bike, and he didn't even charge me for the ride. You know, he's just, you know, like talking so much, and we had a great conversation, just hit it off. But we look nothing alike. We have nothing in common. But when you have a conversation, you'd be surprised what you do actually have in common with people. And, you know, when you're willing to listen. And so I think that's the biggest thing now, to be more intentional with personal and professional relationships and just seeing how I can improve as a person. Because like, you know, it says, you know, in the Bible, like, you know, what profit a man to or a woman to gain the world and lose his or her soul. So yeah. I think, you know, COVID has taught us a lot, and there's a lot going on in the world today that we have to be, you know, very mindful and cognitive of, and a lot of distractions and things that can, you know, send you in a different direction if you're not careful and grounded. So, you know, personally, I think just to finish my real estate license, and bought a couple of lots back home in Mississippi. And the good thing about that is my dad does construction. My dad builds houses for a living. And so
In development or?
Yeah. He's done residential construction for like 35 years. And so, you know, as African-Americans, oftentimes we pay kind of what you call a black tax. And that's basically, you know, you know what it is. It's like, you know, you may have to help out, you know, auntie or grandma or your mother and father. You may have to help them out. And that can put stress and strain on us at times. And so this is a way to, you know, one, keep him, you know, working, and, you know, and also been able to make some different inroads with the real estate side of it. And so that's kind of a goal as well. But yeah, I don't know. Just have a good time. You know, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. My goal is just to have a good time.
Still.
Yeah, I have no clue. Yeah. Just have a good time. And I think the rest of it will take care of itself.
Yeah, I really enjoy that real estate side, and also like your perspective on economics, because I've realized at this point of my life, like, it doesn't, like, all the stuff and things doesn't necessarily matter as much as impact. So in regards to the real estate side and the impact that it's making on your family, what side of real estate is it? Just land, or is it like mobile homes, or what?
Yeah, so I bought a burnout house. We were able to get it for, you know, a really good price. And so my dad's going to renovate it for me pretty much at cost. And the goal is to, you know, put about like $30,000 into it and, you know, try to list it for like 130 and 140. Yes, we want to try to keep the mortgage, what a mortgage would be, I guess comparable to what the rent is, you know, because you have to look at the economics of whatever city you're doing real estate in. And I'm from Mississippi, so it's a very rural state. So you got to be mindful of, you know, what you're doing. So we've learned about the burnout, and we'll start construction on that probably next week with kind of clean out and stuff like that and kind of get that going. So
I don't have what's a burnout?
Yeah. So like the house on the exterior, it's pretty much intact, but the house actually caught on fire on the inside.
Oh, and
so yeah,
literal burn. Okay.
Yeah, literally burnout. Yeah, so they stripped it down to like the studs. And so the good thing about that is we're going in with a blank slate. It's not like we have to go in and take out the cabinets and all this, the bathtub. Like, it's literally a blank slate. And so I think that's going to be the fun part about it, being able to, you know, go in and just, you know, make that project our own and give us its own identity and just really transform it. And so we do a kind of before and after videos and things like that. So, and I learned a lot about it. You know, you don't have to have a license to do real estate investing, obviously. And some people go the rental route. I considered that, but personally, it doesn't make the most sense for me right now, because if you go in and get like a mortgage on a house and you have whatever X fees, property taxes, what have you, when you get done, depending on what you're charging for rent, you may net out $400 or $500 a month.
Oh my gosh. That was the very same reason why we did not rent this house out. I was like, what? Yeah.
Now Airbnb, different thing, depending on where you live. Now that's different. Airbnb,
right?
Great rental properties. And I have friends that do Section 8 rentals. Mm-hmm. And so there's a guaranteed, you know, amount of money coming in. You have to chase them down. But like, we think about vacancy periods and tenants and going in and do
property management. Like,
it's a lot. I mean, it can be a lot. And so I do ultimately want to have like land that I do keep in my family's estate. And so the houses will definitely probably just trying to like either fix and flip and or build from the ground up. So the burnout's one piece. Then we have two lots that we're going to actually build from the ground up on and try to sell those. And ultimately long-term, maybe 3 to 5 years, I want to have a mini storage facility, because with that, it's just like, you know, I mean, it's sitting there. And a guy put it very simply. It's like, if you get a notice that your rent's going up 6 or 7%, you're like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm gonna go down the street. But if you get a notice, say, hey, you know, your storage unit rent's going up, you know, 6 or 7%, you're not gonna go get a U-Haul and 3 or 4 people and move all that stuff to a different facility.
Right. And
so, you know, that's a really good.
You still need,
you know,
a facility.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, the good thing is, like, again, my dad does construction. So pouring a concrete lot, bringing a building and just sitting it there. Then you just need your lock and key. And if it's not climate control, you really have very little overhead, if at all, aside from kind of like property taxes. And so that's kind of a long-term goal. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking at. It's kind of, you know, fix and flip, you know, ground up, you know, builds, and then long-term it is a storage facility.
That's awesome. I had to reevaluate for that too. I think coming into entrepreneurship, you're like, oh, I have to diversify. Let me do real estate. Let me do that. But real estate is very, very wide. And I was just like, I don't think I would like to own a home again. I just really don't. I don't, because like, we got a townhome for the very reason, like, we don't have to maintain it. We have an HOA that maintains the property. We don't have any grass or anything. And I was just like, a house is real maintenance.
I mean, it's like, it's not as big of a flex as it used to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, because I don't want to cut the grass. I don't want to fix the dishwasher. I don't, you know, I just don't. Yeah. I don't have time. Like, I'm never at home anyway. Like, I travel a lot.
Exactly.
So, like, you know what I mean? So I don't have a dog. So like it can make sense. Like, for instance, I get the equity, refinancing, net worth and what have you. But if you're not looking to sell it, I mean, it's kind of like dormant, you know, money. But if you're looking to, you know, refinance, get the equity out, right. I get that. It's just different stuff for different folks. But I know millionaires that will never buy a home. I know millionaires that, you know, have 2 or 3 homes, you know. But I literally don't have like an opinion either way. It's just whatever fits, you know, your kind of lifestyle. I mean, I'm a country boy, so I do kind of like being on the outskirts. But as far as like, you know, owning the home, if I'm looking to sell it in a couple of years, yeah, I'll probably do it. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about. Because like in Dallas, they're building these lagoon communities around these beachfront properties. And so I know like the value of the homes probably go up like super high within a couple of years. And so considering that, but it's like, that would be like a business like decision for me to buy a home.
Like, yeah.
So I'm with you on that.
Yeah. No, I just coming to this Dallas area and just, we really got the house last year. And it was during the time where no one knew what COVID was going to do, whether it was going to tank all prices mm-hmm. or it was going to cause another bubble or what. But we just happened to buy at the right time. Honestly, we bought like August of 2020. So during that time, people were unsure. But now people are like still buying up the property. And the house is selling 110 over what we bought it. Let's so go. I was just like,
let's go.
Look at God.
Let's go. Let's
let
go.
Me move because I don't yeah. want to. Yeah. I don't want to. Hey.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm in a house and somebody's talking about, oh, you can get 100 more than you pay for it. What? I'm out.
Yeah.
Go. You had it. You can have it. You can have it. I don't care.
You can have yeah. it. That was yeah. exactly the situation. Like, would I rather? Y'all. Thank
that's
you.
That's what I'm talking
like,
about.
Would
that's
I rather talking. Stay in Dallas or take this 100 grand and go to Costa Rica? Yeah, I think I'll go. I think I'll go.
Out of here. 95,000. That's what's up. Yeah, that's the way I would do it. Cause like there's yeah. no way I'll probably get a house there for 10 years. I like to move around, you know. So
yeah, we're nomadic about. Too. So yeah. yeah. But no, this was a great conversation. And mm-hmm. to like really close out, where can mm-hmm. people find you? I didn't see you that active on social media. So where are you mm-hmm. really the most active?
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. So any Twitter and Instagram is W_BAGGS. And then Facebook, if that's still a thing, you know, they shut down everything. But, and my email is will@execimage.org, cell 662-417-7383. Want to talk business or anything like that. I'm definitely accessible and look forward to, you know, meeting other people. And honestly, this is something I learned last night, shipping mm-hmm. containers, people are building houses and getting money off of those. So like, you know, again, I like having different conversations with people so I can expand my knowledge base. So we'll definitely willing to connect with anybody. And Netta, thank you for setting up this wonderful platform to hear other people's stories. I mean, your success has been just wonderful to watch, and congratulations to you and your husband. So I just love to see it. I mean, I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. Same for you. I'm going to be looking for some of those videos or I know it's like, I don't see you posting. I'm like, why don't he post more?
I post
of
my stories.
Speaking engagements.
I post my stories. I post my stories.
What? Those go away.
Know. It's like, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, COVID just changed the way I look at social media. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's, I post experiences and stuff for inspiration and stuff. But like, you know, I'll be honest. Like, I was in that kind of look at me, you know, kind of, you know, generation, I guess, at one point. Look what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of over it. You know what I mean? I just don't need the external validation. I don't need to be seen. And so like if I post something or, you know, buy something or do something, it's for me first and foremost. And so I can't say I've always lived like that. And so that's kind of yeah. where I am with that. That's kind of where I just haven't been posting as much because I think, you know, sometimes we live in an alternate reality, you know, in social media. And when Facebook, Instagram shut down, people went crazy. I'm like, shit, I mean, I tried it and refresh it twice. And, oh, just cut it off. Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't like freak yeah. out about it. So that's kind of where I am with that. It's kind of more so being able to take a step back from it and just making sure that, you know, the life that you may present is reflective of how you feel on the inside. And so that's kind of where I am with that.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like website. You have some videos up on your website.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can find okay. like different okay. stuff on my, yeah. Execimage, www.execimage.org. And yeah, you know, yeah, I can do better with that. I've always been trash at marketing, but I can do better with that. So.
Okay. No, that's what I'm like. I know there's like some good videos out there. I wouldn't know like where to start, but that's good.
Yeah. YouTube. Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, type it in and it should be easy to find, but yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming and telling us about your journey and hopefully inspiring other aspiring entrepreneurs. I think this is episode 14. So
let's go. Congrats.
Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, coach. Take care.
All right. You too.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye.